is graduation Sunday, and I'm going to invite three people to come up forward. They're going to be giving testimonies this morning. Morgan Combs and Ben Lord, and I'm looking for them. Come on up, and Molly. I didn't see, I'm looking over there thinking, where did they go? Come on up. We've got three testimonies this morning as a part of our graduation Sunday. And the first to speak will be Ben Lord. Come on up, Ben. And Morgan and Molly, you can come up and have a seat beside me here.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know, my name is Ben Lord, though I think Father Bill made that fairly obvious. And once again, if it isn't obvious, I'm going to speak to you today. And to be perfectly honest, until about Thursday morning, I had no idea what I was going to speak about. And honestly, it was because when Molly told me the prompt, it was, oh, because what she had told me was, what has God done your senior year? And I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And it occurred to me, God hasn't just done something my senior year. He's taught me a lesson throughout my entire time in high school. I like to think that I've been academically blessed by God, and I thank him for that. Though really, compared to my friends, I'm not super smart, I just have good work ethic. And really, God has taught me how to use that work ethic. School's always been relatively easy, and it didn't get hard really until high school. Freshman year, kind of the same as everything else. Got my A's and B's, been with my friends. It was pretty cool. Then sophomore year came around, and let's just say it wasn't as much fun as freshman year. I didn't want to be at school, I didn't enjoy it, I didn't like my classes. Quite frankly, I just didn't care. And that became obvious to my friends, family, and I when the kid that went from making A's and B's effortlessly to barely making a B for the semester. Now, some people told me, oh, Ben, that's okay, you still got the B. All that matters is your GPA. And I kind of took it as, you're not good anymore, you're not good enough. And at one point, I was just ready to sit in this mediocrity. Then one day, I got up and went, I don't want to be like this anymore. I want to do better. And really, knowing the people that I do know now that have done the same thing I did, that wasn't me as a human speaking. That was God saying, no, you're better than this. So I was able to bring my grades up second semester, and junior year came around, and I studied and studied and studied all year. And so when exam season came around, I felt relatively confident. And then my scores came back 2 months later, and I failed my chemistry exam by 3 points. And it was just kind of like, what did I do wrong? I studied, and I really only occurred to me about a couple months ago. There's this thing called too much studying, and really, I wasn't studying at all. I was reading the book and hoping I would learn something. And what I was doing is I was putting that class before God. So, senior year, I've worked and I've had fun, and honestly, I can say I truly enjoyed it. But what I've learned is that you have to have good work ethic if you want to achieve anything in this world. And I thank God that he's taught me that lesson. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. And now Morgan Combs.
I gave my life to Christ when I was really young, but I don't remember making this decision. I guess you could say that I've known God's love my entire life. I used to think that I had to have this amazing turning point in my life in order to show God's love to others. But the truth is that not remembering this incredible moment has been my blessing. I do not know what it is like to not know Jesus. Again, I do not know what it is like to not know Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say? I've known my best friend and Redeemer my entire life, and I am so thankful for that. Now, how can I use this to share God's love with someone else who may not have known his love their entire life? God is always in pursuit of our hearts. He won't let anything happen to us that we can't get through without him. The key words there being without him. When I have faced trials in my life, he was always there. All I have to do is say, God, help me, and he will do what needs to be done. This help comes in many forms, and sometimes I haven't liked the solution in the moment. However, looking back years later, I can see where God has touched my life and made the harder parts okay. He has placed me in situations and in certain people's lives and protected me and used me the whole way. I may not see how he is using me in a certain situation at that moment, but I'm able to see the ripple effect in people later on. I have a strong community that supports me and encourages me in my walk with Christ. Knowing God's protection since I was little is very important to my walk with him. Without his protection, I would be a totally different person and have a different outlook on life. I have had many people at school ask me, why am I so happy all the time? This has been my way of telling them that I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. I went to a private school for the first 2 years of high school, so this wasn't really odd. But for my junior year and senior year, I stood out big time. And this telling them that I have the joy of Jesus in my heart may not go any further than that, but I know that they see something different in me, and this is how I can plant a seed of faith. If a non-believer sees how happy I am and wants to know why, they are likely to know the source of my happiness. God wants us to call on him and pursue his love. It's like a giant staircase with 1,000 stairs. We are at the bottom and God is at the top. Jesus has ascended the staircase 999 steps, and all we have to do is take that one step of faith, and his love will carry us the rest of the way. At the beginning of my senior year, I was rector of Dynamos, and I had no idea what I was doing, as many do. So I took that step of faith, and I trusted that he would carry me, and he did. My senior year was filled with lots of joy and happiness, and it was really fun. But most of all, I was able to strengthen my relationship with God even more as I continued down that staircase. Well, up the staircase. Thank you.
Now I'm going to invite Molly Archer to come forward. But while I do, we have three interns that are serving as we're entering into a search process for our next director of student ministries. And I see Eric Tuning, and where's Jonathan Wright? Did he step out? Jonathan's in the back waving. So Eric and Jonathan and Molly are the three interns that are serving right now, and Molly now has a testimony to give.
Good morning, everybody. Praise God for these awesome testimonies. Why don't we go ahead and take a moment to give a round of applause for all of our youth. It really, truly is beautiful to see the youth up here and how wonderful it is to learn and listen to them and what God's doing in their life. Over the past couple of weeks, RSM and the whole of Redeemer has been going through Apostle Peter's teachings in his first epistle. And we learned about hope and being born again, the call to be holy and submission to authority, and more specifically, being living stones built into a living house. What would happen if you were to take just one or a few stones away from that house? While part of it may stand, the whole of the house would be deemed destroyed and not livable. With this in mind, I'd like to share a few things. I was called to youth ministry as a middle school student entering the sixth grade, and have been with youth ministry ever since. Being a part of youth ministry during this whole time, I have had the privilege to be a part of variations of programs, ministries, before attending Redeemer, with my family, and on through the entirety of my college career, assisting Sean in RSM, while having finally finished the degree focusing on youth ministry this past fall semester. Let's just say, I've been there, and I got the t-shirt. That's a youth ministry joke. Allow me to let you in on a few things that are noticeable issues within the growing Christian church today and that the Lord has revealed to me personally during my experience, having been a part of youth ministry as a student and leading, and that is a lot of church congregations in the body today, they're starting to separate the view of program youth ministry and focus it on just that, a program. And while that is taking place, not only are the youth slowly being separated from the congregation into other buildings devoted to just them, but the youth ministries are becoming a different church entirely from what their congregation's mission statement is. Furthermore, there is a saying that is often said among the body of Christ that has great intentions, but also has many sad implications, and that is the youth are the future church. While this is very true in its intent, I question this statement with the thought, are the youth not the church now? Why, without youth being a part of the church now, that is like saying, here is our house, but there's a few holes here, 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 and oh, here. Now, this is quite contrary, though, to the way we do things here at Redeemer. As you see today, our youth are up here, leading all of you in worship, in prayer, sharing their testimonies. And as we read the week's scriptures, themes of praising, abiding, and the joy through suffering were common and often repetitive. As I have been with our RSM team, I have seen all of this evident in the lives of our youth. Psalm 148, verse 12, highlights people praising the Lord together, specifically saying young men and maidens together, old men and children, and as Father Driscoll added earlier, old women too. And in 1 Peter, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and a tender heart and a humble mind. These have become more alive and evident since the transition of RSM was brought to the attention of our students. After the youth received word of our youth pastor, Sean, stepping down from full-time ministry, one question was asked that still touches my heart today. Can we pray now? Our youth had just received word of uncomfortable news, and although a little sad, a little anxious, all they wanted to do was to pray. As the night progressed to a close, the youth gathered around and started praising the Lord in worship, drawing close to the Lord. Some even turned down my ice cream that I brought in to kind of help appeal to people's emotions in a really hard time. That's a really good feeling. Since then, our youth have persevered, abided in the Lord, and with each other. If you think about it, these youth that you see serving this morning are the many faces of joy in the midst of an uncomfortable transition for them. They have overcome with victory and are here before you, examples leading you, teaching you, praying for you, worshiping and encouraging our hearts, and ministering to our souls. With that, I would like to say thank you to the leadership and all of you members of Redeemer for having sympathy, not seeing them any less than you, but rather looking to them with a tender heart, full of brotherly love, and humbling your minds to be ministered, encouraged, and maybe even challenged by them. May we all continue to worship and abide in Christ with one another in unity of mind. Amen.
Thank you, Molly, and thank you, Morgan, and thank you, Ben. And as I mentioned, listed here are all of the graduates. Are there any other, who's graduating this season? Please stand up if you're graduating. I want to see who the graduates are. So we have Ben and Morgan. They're the only ones with us this morning. Well, we're going to recognize all of them by recognizing the two of you. Did I hear something? No. Today we do honor and recognize all those who are graduating, who are leaving one season of life and then moving into the next season. Now, while my sermon this morning is for the graduates, it's not only for the two of them that are here, because the Word of God is living and active. It's our spiritual food. It's our nourishment. And so, all of you listen. Graduating, moving into a new season, involves some suspense, because you're moving into a new, unknown season. Even though you may think you know what it is, there is unknown. On some level, there is suspense, perhaps anxiety, perhaps even fear. Now, I like suspenseful movies. I don't like the gory type, but I like well-written movies which portray suspense without the gross-out factor. How many of you share my affinity for some suspense? Okay. I like being on the edge of my seat as I wait for what will happen next. But one thing about suspenseful movies, it's very common for movies in this genre to include a scene where one or more of the main characters are told, "Don't move. Don't leave where you are. Don't open the door. Don't go out of your hiding place, no matter what." So I like suspense, but I don't like stupidity. And the stupidity in some of these movies frustrates me. When characters are told not to do something and then they decide to do it, well, to me, that's just stupid. You're asking for it. They're told not to move. Why are they moving? I'm usually yelling at the TV, ask my children, "Stay there!" Why are they moving? Each of the graduates, and truly anyone who's moving to a new season or something new, they experience some level of relief that the current season is over and complete, but at the same time, they experience some level of suspense at what will happen next. Today, as I address the young men and women who've been raised in the spiritual community, Church of the Redeemer, under the oversight of student ministries, I address them as followers of Jesus because, as Molly mentioned, they've been raised to be followers of Jesus, not just attenders of youth group. You've each been mentored in the good news of Jesus Christ in the history of our faith, and this is true for all of our youth. They've been mentored in the call to live as followers of Jesus, to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. And today I cry out to you in concert with our scripture readings, stay there. Don't move. Abide in your faith. Do not leave or forget it. Stay there. Choose to stay. In our reading from Deuteronomy, we heard the words from Moses' lips. I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life, he is your length of days. Now remember, this isn't just for the graduates, it's for every one of you. Blessing and curse, life and death are set before you each day as you wake up. And you have a choice to choose to hold fast to the Lord, listen for, hear and obey his voice, or to follow other idols, other priorities, other modes of safety. Today I say, along with Moses, choose life. For the Lord alone is your life. So there's that theme. Stay there. Remember where your life resides. Cling to your faith. Stay connected to the Lord and stay connected to a faith community. Moses isn't talking to individuals, but to a body. Together, choose life. In our gospel reading from John chapter 15, the same theme is proclaimed. John, recording Jesus' words, uses the Greek word meno, abide. How many times did you hear abide in those few verses? Anybody have a guess? 10. 10 times in verses 4 through 10. Remain, abide, stay, continue, endure, don't move, abide. Jesus declared, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides, remains in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, what's it say? You can do nothing. You bear fruit staying connected to Jesus, staying connected to the vine, because apart from him, you can do nothing. Apart from him, there is no life. It's not just that you can't do anything. There is no life. Jesus said in that passage, "Abide in me and I in you." As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Can we move on to the next slide, or is it hung up? There we go. Abide, and I'm going to read it again. It's that important. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. So you put your faith in Jesus, you're a branch. If you bear fruit, you will be pruned, you will thrive. If you don't bear fruit, what happens? You wither, you die, you're set aside to be burned. You still have faith in Jesus, but you're withering because you're not connected, you have not remained. Jesus challenges his followers to choose life, to choose to abide in him, to choose abiding. There's a choice here. Moses said, choose life. Life or death, blessing or curse, choose life. And Jesus says the same. There's a choice. All of you who've put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior are his branches. All of you who call yourself followers of Jesus, therefore, are his branches. So all of you have a choice. Remain, abide, or don't. The branches whose faith is in Jesus, but who do not bear fruit, Jesus tells us they're thrown away. They wither. They die. They did not stay. They did not cling. And they have withered apart from him. There is a world for the youth and for each and every one of you that wants to separate you from the vine. And college is a place that will seek to do that, to show you all these other things. Why stay connected to that? Abide in me, Jesus declared, or else you will wither and die. If you do not yet have faith in Jesus, if you're sitting here today and you're still not sure about Jesus, then you're not connected to him, the vine of life. So spiritually, you are dead. If that describes you today, I implore you to choose life. And if you're not ready to choose life yet, perhaps choose coffee, because I offer you a cup of coffee. If you will join me for a cup of coffee so we can discuss these matters further, I implore you to make the choice. Choose life. Now, if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, every day you have that choice. Am I going to abide, remain in him, or am I going to do my own thing? I ask you this question. Are you spiritually thriving, or are you withering? Whether life is good or whether life is hard. Are you thriving or are you withering? Do you see any fruit? I remember my first semester at college. I entered that great suspenseful unknown, not fully aware of the battle that was going on for my soul. I had faith in Jesus. I had had that for a long time. But I wasn't fully aware of the battle, and I didn't abide in Jesus. I remembered my faith, who Jesus was, but I had other priorities that took precedence. Jesus was no longer first. He was there, but I was not abiding, and I withered, and I was lonely, even though I had a great mask on that things were great. I thank God one evening when I heard him calling to me to return, I made the choice to return to him, to seek to abide in him first. And from that day forward, that's been my practice. Don't always get it perfect, but it's a choice each day to abide in him. Graduates and students and members of Redeemer, today before you are life and death. Even as you sit here in this beautiful sanctuary to worship the Lord, today before you is life and death. Choose life. Choose to remain connected to the only thing that, according to Jesus, will fill you with his joy, that your joy may be complete. Remain connected to the vine. Graduates, go into your new season attached to his vine. Redeemer members, go into the next day, tomorrow, Monday, connected to the vine. Seeking other branches, seeking community as you go. Abide in him. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you alone are the way, the truth, and the life, the only true source of joy and peace. And please convict our hearts by your Holy Spirit. If we are not connected to you as the vine, if we are withering under the distraction of the world, give us courage to turn back to you and abide. Fill us daily with your joy and your peace, that we will be your witnesses everywhere we are for the glory of your name. And we pray these things in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.